I'm going to read some verses in Psalm 3, and I know that our time is going to be limited here this morning, but I'll do my best on this. Psalm 3, just would ask that you would pray for us this afternoon. We're going to be traveling up to Germantown, Ohio. Brother Setzer there asked us some weeks ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, to come and to speak to his church on the subject of loving the addicted person in your family. I told him, I said, Brother Setzer, I don't exactly know what I could say on a subject like that, because we've won a few battles, but we're still right in the big middle of a war in our fire family. But he pressed me that this was what he felt like the Lord wanted me to do, so I want to turn this opportunity down. I went to see Zach Friday, and I wanted to talk to him about this. I wanted his permission to give some of these details. At first he said, don't do that. But then he said, well, maybe if it would help somebody, that'd be okay. So that's our prayer, that maybe someone can be helped. Because outside of the Lord, I know I don't have much to offer. But I'd appreciate your prayers. Brother Greg will be preaching here tonight, so I trust that everybody will be here in the service this evening. Psalm 3, verse number 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of the holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me, and I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheek bone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Now, this is a Psalm of David written at the occasion of him being run out of town, run out of Jerusalem by his own son Absalom. You know the story, what had happened, that the a breakdown in the relationship between David and Absalom. I don't have time to go into all of these details, but David sinned with Bathsheba, murdered Bathsheba's husband, tried to cover it up. It was then uncovered and revealed by the prophet Nathan. David repented, and you can see that in Psalm 51. It was a complete repentance, what he did. But then he faced the consequences of his sin. Yes, we can repent of our sins, but many times we bear the scars of our sin all the days of our life. And David bore the consequence of what he had done, and some of it was lived out even in his own family, because the Bible says that Absalom saw his brother rape his half-sister, Tamar. Absalom was so angry that he rose up and he murdered his own brother. David did nothing about the fact that Absalom was a murderer now, because he had been a murderer. Broke down his ability to have power and authority as the king. And so there was a breakdown in their relationship, father, son. Absalom left and is gone for years and then comes back to the city. David wouldn't even look him in the face for a space of 2 years. And during that time, the Bible says that Absalom sat in the gates. He counseled the people what they wanted to hear. He flattered them. He spoke to them all the kind of words that they all wanted to hear, and said, oh, if I was only the judge, things would be going really well here. Eventually, he began to build up a following. And before long, he had the armies, most of the armies of Israel, supporting him instead of David. They planned a coup against David to run him out of town. And David gets the report, and he gathers up some of his servants and just a few of his possessions and hardly anything, and has to run for his life. That's the occasion of this psalm. He writes this psalm on the run, on the run. Now, if there would be anything that would describe somebody's life falling apart, this was happening in David's life. Everything is falling apart in his life. Some of you may be facing that same kind of thing, that it seems like everything is falling apart in your life. It could be devastating news of sickness. It could be the breakup of your family. It could be divorce. It could be the loss of your job. It could be someone you love that's on drugs. It could be all kinds of things that are going on in your life, maybe in your family. And today you feel like things are out of control. Things are falling apart and your life is out of control. That was the circumstance that David was faced with as he's running for his life. He sees that all of these great numbers of people, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. That's what they were saying. David, this is the end of the line for you. It's over for you. You failed and you failed and you failed, and so there's no help for you of God in God. But David was a man after God's heart. Even with all of his failures, even with all of the terrible things that he had done, he repented of those things, and his heart was after God. It shows the great power of God's mercy and love to forgive and to restore the worst in us. The terrible things that we possibly could do, but God is able to restore you. And they said, there's no hope for you in God, but I just want to encourage all of you today to know there is hope for you. There is hope for you in God and only in the Lord. The key verse here is verse number 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Glory to God. But thou, O Lord. Now, in that particular verse, he uses the word Lord, which is used in many places in the Old Testament, and it's translated from a word that means just the supreme God, the sovereign God, the God, the word, Hebrew word, Adonai, which just means a sovereign God. But that's not the word that he uses here. That's many places where the word, you'll see the word Lord, it's translated from the word Adonai, meaning sovereign God. But in this text and in many other places also in the Old Testament, the word thou, O Lord, thou, O Lord, is a different word. It's the word Yahweh. It's the Hebrew word Yahweh, which just means personal covenant-keeping God. Yahweh, the personal covenant-keeping God. The I am, it's the same meaning that Moses had whenever he saw that bush that was on fire in the wilderness, and he goes over to that and the voice speaks to him and says, take your shoes off, Moses, you're standing on holy ground. And then he gets the commission and the call of God given to him, you're to go, you're to be a deliverer for all of Israel, you're to go and to set my people free. And so he says, well, who am I going to say? Send me, who am I, well, what authority am I going to be able to come to Pharaoh and say, let my people go? He said, you tell him, I'm paraphrasing, you tell him, I am that I am has sent you. It's the same word. It's the Yahweh, the personal covenant-keeping God, the covenant-keeping God, the God who will not forsake you in your worst time of trouble. The same meaning in the New Testament is found in Romans chapter 8, In verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It just means that it's a personal, he's personal. He's your father. Some use that Abba, Father as to mean daddy or intimate terminology for your relationship with your heavenly Father. He is your personal God who will hear your cry and will come to your rescue if you will call upon the Lord. That's who David is praying to in this verse. But thou, O Lord, the Yahweh, the I Am, the personal covenant-keeping God, my God who will hear my prayer, he is a personal God for every one of us here today. Amen. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. We know that a shield was used in battle and the shield was held out in the front to defend from the attack of the enemy. But he says here, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Several other translations of this, it says, thou art a shield about me. And when you look at this word for in the original language, that's exactly what it means. Not for me, but about me. So this was not, he said, you're a shield for me, not just in the front of me, but about me, behind me, and around me, to the side, to the left, to the right, to the back. You see, David was on the run, and he had the Lord as his shield, but he also had behind him a lot of enemies advancing on him. So he needed a shield in every direction. And he said, he's the Yahweh, the personal covenant-keeping God, who is my shield, who surrounds me, who walls me about and protects me in every direction. Lamentation 3:7, it refers to this same phrase here, the same word. He hath hedged me about or walled me about. In Genesis 15:1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. It's the same word, to be walled around, to be completely and entirely protected. The same ideas in Psalm 18:29. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, the same word for shield. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. So we are trusting in the Lord today because he is the I Am. He is the covenant-keeping God. He's the personal God who has surrounded us and is protecting us from everything that the enemy might send our way. Glory to God. That was the God that David was praying to as he ran from Absalom. Can you imagine the heartbreak that your kingdom is being taken over? The loss of everything that you have is gone, and it's your own son that is your enemy against you. Can you imagine the heartbreak, the sadness, and the overwhelming fear of all that he was going through? I want you to know that he is a personal covenant-keeping God who will help you through your worst of circumstances. And some of you today may be up against things, and it feels like everything is against you. I have to tell you, I can go back about 8 years. Our son was in a rehab. Our daughters were facing terrible crisis, two of them, in their homes. Brother Huff was sick. It was a terrible, terrible time. It was a terrible time. It just seemed like everything just mounted up on us, overwhelming. I couldn't have made it. I couldn't have made it if I didn't know that people were praying, if I didn't know that God was real, that God was undergirding us, that God was strengthening us, that God was with us, that he was a personal God, a covenant-keeping God that was carrying us through all of that trial. He provided for us in so many wonderful ways, and I praise God for that. Hallelujah. Harry, I'll never forget. Brother Huff had passed away. All this is coming down on us. He called me. He knew that Zach was in a rehab, hour and a half away. And we're going to let Zach come to the funeral. And Harry called me and said, listen, I'm going to go get Zach for you. You don't have to make that trip. I'll take him back too afterwards. I'll never forget that, Harry. I'll never forget it. That people step up and help you when you're going through it. The people of God. The wonderful blessing of knowing that God is our help in the middle of our trial. And some of you here today, I don't exactly know what's going on in the lives of some several of you here in this service today, but I'm convinced. Some of you are up against some things and it just feels like things are out of control and everything is being destroyed and your life is falling apart and you don't know what to do. I'm telling you what to do from verse number 3 there. Cry out to the God who is the personal covenant-keeping God, who is your protection, who will wall you around with protection so that when the enemy comes from all directions, no matter what your trial and trouble might be, you might be getting hit from the left and the right. In every direction, you may be bombarded with trials and heartache here today. I want you to know that he's your God who can help you. Thou art Lord. Lord, you are a personal God, a covenant-keeping God who will protect us from everything that we might face. Glory be to God. Everything that you're up against, the Lord is with you and the Lord can help you if you'll put your trust in him. Amen. Then it says, and he is my glory and the lifter of my head. You see, David, when you read through that, over there in Samuel, I think it's about chapter, I forgot. I think it's chapter 12, 13. Look it up. When David leaves, his head is down. He has something over his head. And they go weeping. Him and all of his family and his servants and everyone's with him. This is the worst day of his life. He's going through the hardest trial of his life. Just a day before, he was the king. He was the most powerful man in the kingdom. He was a man, you know, esteemed and honored. But now he's shamed and he is barefoot with his head covered, walking. And a man steps out and begins to curse him and throw stones at him. And David says, let him do it. His servants try to defend him. He says, let him do it. This is what I've got coming to me. Again, I'm paraphrasing. He knew all of these terrible things that were saying. But now he's saying, if you let him be the personal God, if you let him be the Lord Yahweh in your life, if you'll trust him to protect you in every direction, then he will be your glory, which just simply means that he will restore you once again. You'll be able to lift your head up again. You won't be cast down any longer. He will be your glory and the lifter of your head. He's going to bring you through it. There's going to be a brighter day. He's going to restore joy back to you. He's going to restore dignity back to you. He'll bring you back into his grace and back into his forgiveness. And he'll begin working in your life in this terrible thing that you're going through. He says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice and he heard me. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful promise. He heard me. Then he said, I laid me down and slept. You don't sleep if you've got an entire army after you. But God just brings such a peace into David's life that he lays down and he goes to sleep and gives perfect rest. And then when you're going through it, turmoil and trouble and problems from every side, rest leaves you. Sleep leaves you. You're physically drained. It's the work of the enemy to try to rob you of what God has promised. But David said, when I cried to the Lord and he came to protect me and to lift up my head, then I prayed and the Lord heard my prayer and he allowed me to sleep. I laid down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I'll not be afraid of 10,000 people that have set themselves against me round about. I mean, he'd got a hold of it. He got a hold of such confidence in God, he recognized, I don't care if there's an army of 10,000 behind me and pursuing me. God is on my side. And he is going to deliver me and he's going to help me in the midst of all of this situation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Rise, O Lord, save me, my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. This is describing God stepping in and defeating your enemies. And David is now testifying to the fact God has turned this thing around. Amen. And he can turn it around for you too. Let's bow our heads. Father, you know all about the hearts of men and women in this service today. And Lord, I know that there's some that their life seems to be really, really in turmoil. They don't know what to do. But Lord, I've showed them from your word today that they need to cry out to you. Oh Lord. Oh Lord, the personal God that cares about them, who will not fail in his good promises. He keeps his covenant. Oh God, I just pray for everyone that's in this place that there would be a turnaround in their heart, in their life today. Right now they're downcast. Right now they are defeated. Right now they're ashamed. Right now they're hopeless in their circumstance. But Lord, I'm asking you in this service today to help those that are desperate. To help those, Lord, that can't see any help. Lord, in Jesus' name, let's stand together. Praise the Lord. What does the enemy say? The enemy says, there is no help for you in God. There is no help for you. Forget it. God is not going to be able to help you. But remember, that's your adversary, the enemy who hates you, who wants to destroy you. But God is a personal God. He cares about you. He'll come to your rescue. He'll wall you around with divine protection. He'll lift you up. He'll cause what the enemy is trying to do to be completely reversed, and for your head to be once again lifted up. Glory to God. You don't have to be in this circumstance a long time, because God has made a way. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So before we all pray, I want to just welcome anyone in this service today. And you're really under the fire. You're really going through something right now. And it seems like trouble and trials from every direction. You don't know what to do. There doesn't seem to be an answer. But the enemy has lied to you and convinced you that God can't help you, but he's your only help. He is your only help. So would you cry out to the Lord today? He will hear your prayer. He will deliver you. He will turn things around for you if you'll put your trust in the Lord today. Hallelujah.